الحمد لله رب العالمين، له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن، صلوات الله البر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah. May Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We explained last week the saying of Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi that means, we believe that Muhammad is his chosen slave, his elect prophet, and his accepted messenger. We believe that he is the last of the prophets, the greatest example of the God-fearing ones, the master of the messengers, and the most beloved one to the Lord of the worlds. Every claim of prophethood after his is false and reveals corrupt inclinations. We explained this statement of Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, who stated at the beginning of this book that this is the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the belief of Muslims. So any Muslim believes in what is mentioned here. This is the belief of all Muslims, regardless what school of thought he follows, whether he follows Shafi'i school or Hanafi school or Hanbali school or Maliki school. All Muslims around the world who follow the four schools of thought believe in what is mentioned here, because this is among the matters, the fundamentals of our belief, that all Muslims believe. All Muslims agreed upon. So there is no difference between that Muslim and that Muslim in regards of these beliefs. If someone disagrees with what Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi mentioned here, will not be considered as Muslim. That means he left the mainstream, he went astray, and now he's classified as non-Muslim. Like when he says, for instance, every claim of prophethood after his is false and reveals corrupt inclination, and the scholars said that the one who believes in a person as a prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not classified as Muslim. That person will be a blasphemer. Every now and then, we told you, a person might emerge from a place and he might claim to be a prophet. And some of them, they start by claiming that they are righteous Muslims. Gradually, they want to drag people to follow them. But if they want to say to them, from the first time we are prophets, they might not believe in them. So what they do, they tell them first, we are good Muslims, righteous Muslims. Slowly, slowly, and gradually, they tell him that they are prophets, wal-iyazu billah. Same as the imposter at Dajjal, when he will emerge before the day of judgment. First, he will claim that he is a righteous Muslim. Then after that, he will claim that he is prophet. Then he claims godhood, wal-iyazu billah. He claims to be God. This is the imposter. And his sedition fitna is the greatest sedition this nation will be inflicted with. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la fitnata أعظم من فتنة المسيح الدجال. His sedition is the greatest sedition for this nation. So you have to be cautious not to believe any person who gives a claim. You have first to find out if this claim is right or false. If it's false, reject it. Even if he is from your country, he is from your town and city, he's related to you, it doesn't matter. If this person doesn't believe the proper belief, leave him, because you want to be saved in the hereafter. You don't follow a person blindly, just I'm with you, because you liked his way of talking, because you liked his appearance. That means you want to follow him even if he's going to hellfire. You want to follow him? No. You might find non-believers who are handsome and beautiful in this life. That doesn't mean they are on the right path. So you do not follow them because of this. You might find a person who likes to tell stories in the lesson, but all the time he mentions the stories. Some of them are correct, others are incorrect. Some people like to hear stories like babies, little children in their beds. They want someone to tell them a story. So they go to the person. If he tells the stories, they like the way he talks. He tells the stories, so they listen to him and they follow him. And they do not even try to investigate whether this story he mentioned is correct or incorrect, authenticated or inauthenticated. They do not look at all these issues. They just listen to the stories. They like to listen to stories. That's very, very dangerous. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أخوف ما أخاف على أمتي كل منافق عليم اللسان. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is worried about this nation. From what? From the imposter, the one who is imposter, hypocrite, imposter, but his way of talking is very appalling to people, very pleasing to them. So they might like listen to that person, like the way he talks, so they accept what he says. Such people will because the way they talk appeals to people, they like it, so they accept from that person everything he says. And this is very, very dangerous. They follow him blindly. That's very dangerous. The Prophet warned us against following the person whose speech might seem appealing to people, but in fact, he is seducing them. He is leading them astray. He is deviating them from the right path. That's why, look at the person. We are all brothers and sisters, regardless our background. You came from Pakistan, India, Fiji, Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, Jordan. We are all Muslims. We form the majority of Muslims of this nation. The followers of the four schools of thought, we form the majority of this nation. We are on the right path. So if you hear someone mentioning something that is untrue, do not accept from him. Go to him and advise him. If he accepts, that's fine. If he doesn't accept, leave him and follow the religion. Imam Abdul Qadir al-Jailani radiyallahu anhu, whose grave is in Iraq. Imam Abdul Qadir al-Jailani was one of the top righteous Muslims in the past. Abdul Qadir al-Jailani, what did he say? He said, if you see from your sheikh who is teaching you something that is against Islam, advise him. If he accepts your advice, that's fine. If he doesn't, leave him and follow the rules of the religion. Follow the Sharia. You don't follow the person. You follow me as long as I say what complies with the Sharia. But once I deviate, I start teaching you something wrong, you leave me and you follow the Sharia. It's not me as a person that takes you into paradise. It's the correct religion I'm preaching what takes you to paradise. That's why, do not be tempted by the appearance of people. If you see a person with a long beard, you think he's very, very knowledgeable. If it's 20 centimeters, that means he's very, very knowledgeable. If he's wearing a turban that is very wide, you say, oh, this is very knowledgeable. You look at another person who's wearing a normal cap, no, this person is not that knowledgeable. That one is more knowledgeable. Then in the end, we'll find you in Mexico, learning from these people in Mexico, those who wear the big, big hat. You think those are the most knowledgeable in the world, you might go to them and you start learning there. This is not the right thing to measure people with. Watch what they say. If they say something that complies with the religion, respect them, follow them. If they say something against our religion, leave them and follow the religion. If you can advise them and you think they listen, advise them. If they don't accept from you, leave them and follow the deen, follow the religion. Because the religion is what will take you to paradise, not people. Imam Ali radiallahu anhu said, religion is not measured by people. However, people are measured by religion. To know if that person is on the right path or not, what do? Put him in the scale of religion. There's a scale for religion, the laws of the Sharia. Put him in that scale and see how much he weighs. He might be wearing a big turban and he might have a big bead, for instance. Put him in that scale. He doesn't even weigh 1 milligram. You know this person is not on the right path. You might see a person who is skinny, short, poor person, but when he talks, he tells and he teaches a proper religion. And the way he's acting is very, very pious. Put him in that scale, he weighs millions of kilograms. Why? Because he is on the right path. So you do not weigh people by what? By the appearance, by the shape, by the background of that person. No. Look at the knowledge this person is preaching and teaching. If it's the correct knowledge, we respect that person. As they say in the slang, Arabic slang, we put him on our heads. That means we respect him. But if he doesn't teach the proper knowledge, leave that person and follow the religion, because that will save you in the hereafter. Do you know what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention about the Pharaoh of Egypt and his followers? Allah said about them, يَقُدُمُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ وَبِئْسَ الْوِرْدُ الْمَوْرُودِ. The Pharaoh of Egypt will be in front of all his followers. He will lead them, but where? To hellfire. He will lead them to hellfire. They will have no excuse in the hereafter to say, we followed him, we thought he is on the right path. That's not an excuse for them. The Pharaoh of Egypt and his followers will be in hellfire. And even there's another verse that talks about how the followed people disown their followers in the hereafter. They disown them. They deny them. They say, no, we didn't tell them to do this. They came to us by their full will. They followed us. So they tried to defend themselves by saying, no, we did not tempt them. They followed us. But then Allah will order both to be thrown into hellfire. The follower and the followed one. Both will be thrown into hellfire. That's why, that's your religion. Brother and sister, this is your religion. The most precious thing in your life. It's more important than anything else in this life. Keep your religion safe. How? By preserving your religion from any blasphemous belief that will corrupt your belief and will lead you astray and take you out of Islam. That's why it's very important to adhere to the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Keep that belief in your heart. Keep it inside. Try to preserve it. Otherwise, if you lose your religion, if you lose your proper belief, even if you pray outwardly and you fast, all these acts of obedience will not be accepted from you. It's like you are building on the waves of the seashore. You'll have no building in the hereafter. You come in the hereafter empty-handed. Why? Because you didn't have the correct belief. So whatever you try to build, all will collapse. Why? Because you don't have the proper foundation. The proper foundation, the strong foundation, is your correct belief in Allah and His Messenger. So this is the most important thing to preserve in this life. Sometimes you might miss a prayer, but you are still Muslim. You might miss one day of fasting, you are still Muslim. You might not pay the due zakah on you, you are still Muslim. You might keep on deferring going to Hajj until you die without performing Hajj. You are still Muslim. But if you believe in your heart a blasphemous belief, you are no longer classified as Muslim. You lost your religion. Because religion is not measured by our names. Because my name is Muhammad or Ibrahim, I have an Islamic name. That means I'm going to go into paradise. No. It's not because my shape or where I was born that makes me go to paradise in the hereafter. No. It's your religion what will take you to paradise in the hereafter. Our topic for today is very, very important. That's why it needs full attention. It's very critical, because many people unfortunately misunderstood this topic and they left Islam by believing something against the belief of Muslims. Look what does Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi says. He says, what means? The Quran is the kalam of Allah. Allah is the one who revealed its expression to His Prophet without His own attribute of speech resembling any attribute of the creation. The believers believe with certainty that it is the kalam of Allah, the Exalted, and that it is not created like the speech of the creation. Whoever hears the Quran and says this statement, this false statement, that it is composed by a human, then is a blasphemer, is a blasphemer. Allah dispraised, censured, and threatened such a person with saqar. Saqar means hell. He, the Exalted, said, sa'uslihi saqar, which means Allah will burn him in hellfire. Since Allah threatened with saqar, hellfire, the one who says about the Quran that it is composed by a human, we know for certain that it is revealed by the creator of mankind, and that his speech does not resemble the speech of mankind. That's very important to be understood. The kalam of Allah, or the Quran or the kalam. When we say the Quran, we might be referring to either one of two things. When we say the Quran, we might be referring to the eternal kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the eternal speech of Allah. That is one of Allah's attributes. It has no beginning, it has no end, it doesn't change, it's not made up of a language, letter, sound, or voice. So when we say the Quran, we might be referring to the eternal kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one. Number two, we might refer by our saying the Quran to the revealed book, the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is made up of what language? Arabic. It has a beginning. It starts with what surah? Fatiha. It ends with what surah? An-Nas. So, and it is contained in that cover. So we call it the Holy Quran. That's our book, our holy book. This is called the Quran, and the eternal kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is not made up of language, letter, or a sound is called as well the Quran. So when we say the word the Quran, we might refer to the eternal kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we might refer to what? To the revealed book. Not only the Quran, what's the book that Allah revealed to Prophet Moses alayhi salam? The Torah, for instance. The Torah that Allah revealed to Prophet Moses alayhi salam was in what language? Hebrew language. Hebrew language. The book that Allah revealed to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, Al-Injil, Evangel, they call it. Not the Bible. The Bible is not the Injil. The Bible is a different book. Now, the Bible is a Latin word that means the book. So, but the book that Allah revealed to Prophet Isa alayhi salam is what book? The Injil. It was in what language? The Syriac language. As-Suryaniya, Syriac language. So the books that Allah revealed to the prophets were revealed in different languages. That doesn't mean Allah spoke Hebrew with Moses and Syriac with Jesus and Arabic with Muhammad and so on. No, that's not the meaning of it. What Allah revealed to the prophet is an expression. It's not the exact attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, it is an expression of the eternal kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give you an example to make it very simple to you. If I write on the board fire, how do you spell fire? F-I-R-E, fire. So four letters, fire. If I say to you, what is this? What do you say? Fire. So the answer will be fire. Does that mean if you touch it, it's going to burn you? You are touching four letters. So these four letters are not the exact fire that burns. It's not the real fire that burns. These four letters are an expression that you use to refer to what? To that real fire that burns. So when we say the Quran, this Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uttered these words, spoke in Arabic language. No, We mean these words and verses are expressions of the eternal kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Expression. Same. If you write on the board the word Allah, A-double-L-A-H, Allah. If someone says to you, what is this? You say Allah. You don't worship these letters, A-double-L-A-H, no. You worship Allah, the one who created the world. And these letters, you wrote them on the board. You wrote them on the board. How could these letters be your creator? Impossible. So what do you mean when you say, this is Allah? You mean, I refer by these letters to the Lord of the world, the one that I worship. I refer to the creator of the world by using these letters, Allah. So here when you say about the Quran, this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you mean? The Quran is an expression of the eternal kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks a language and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his speech is made up of language or letter or sound. No, that's impossible. Because it's very obvious when you say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That's when you start reciting Quran. Don't you pronounce the ba before the seen, then the seen before the meme? So they are coming in sequence. And you finish pronouncing one letter, you jump into the next one, and so on. So you are pronouncing letters. And the sound of that letter, that's it. You pronounced it, it's gone now. It's in the past. You started with the next letter, and so on. This is the way we recite Quran. This is not the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. No, that's impossible. Because if Allah's speech is with a beginning and with an end, then it will be like the speech of the creations. And to utter with these letters and sounds, we need a device. Allah created like a device for us, the mouth, with the tongue, the teeth, by which Allah made us able to talk, to utter the letters, to pronounce them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks without a language, without a letter, without a sound. Now listen to this. In the past, people had a very big dispute regarding the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm talking at the time of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the great imam. People split into three groups at that time, after the Sahaba, after the era of the Sahaba. People split into three groups. One group took one extreme, the other group, the second group took the other extreme, and the majority of Muslims stayed where? In the middle. Stayed in the middle. They didn't take either of the extremes. One group called the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila or Al-Qadariyya. Those who used to say also that the person is the one who creates his own actions. They don't believe that Allah is the creator of everything. They believe, no, what I do by my will, I create it, not Allah. And those are mushrikeen by their belief, because they associated partners with Allah. Because the one who says, I create as Allah creates, he's a blasphemer. So they used to say, no, Allah creates the rain, Allah created the sun, the moon, Allah created life and death, but Allah doesn't create my actions. I'm the one who creates my actions. So, of course, those are blasphemers. Those people, the Mu'tazila, became very strong at that time. They believed that Allah is not attributed with the attribute of kalam. So they denied one of Allah's attributes, that it is confirmed, mentioned in the Quran explicitly. Allah said in the Quran, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. This is an ayah that shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled Moses alayhi salam to hear the speech of Allah, the eternal kalam that doesn't resemble the speech of the creations. So they denied the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they say, if Allah speaks, that means He is like us. So they denied the attribute of speech. They said, if Allah is attributed with hearing, that means he is like us. If Allah is attributed with seeing, then He will be like us. So they denied these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They denied the attribute of seeing, the attribute of hearing, and the attribute of speaking. The speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kalam of Allah azza wa jalla, they denied all these attributes. And of course, the one who denies all these won't be considered as Muslim. So they took one extreme. The other group are called the mushabbiha, mujassima, those who use the attribute, organs, and body to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those said, Allah speaks as we speak. And even they said that Allah has a tongue, they believe that Allah has a body and mouth and lips and hands and organs, fingers, wal-iyaz billah. And up to now there are people who believe what these people believe in the past. So one group denied the attribute of kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other group confirmed an attribute that is called the kalam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they made it like the attribute of the creations. They said Allah speaks as we speak. Allah speaks with language, they said. And subhanallah, they misinterpreted the verse in the Quran. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. They said that Allah, upon creating a thing, they said, Allah says, كُنْ with kaf and noon. Like in English means be, with the B and E. Kun, that's the meaning of kun. They believed that upon creating a thing, Allah says with the word, with the letters, kun, then that thing will be created. Just one question. In one moment, how many millions and billions of things around the world come into existence? Look now, your heartbeat, for instance. There are about 7 billion of people around the world. When the heart is beating, who is creating the beating in the hearts? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they look, who is creating the seeing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they move, who is the creator of these movements? Allah. When the leaf of a tree falls off, who creates that falling? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in one moment, millions and billions of things come into existence. So if they say that upon creating a thing, Allah says, kun, according to them, Allah doesn't do anything except saying kun, 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 in order for all these to come into existence. And this is impossible. So what's the meaning of إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ? It doesn't mean literally. It means it's very, very easy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create a thing. If Allah willed for something to happen at a specific time, in a specific place, once that time comes, that thing comes into existence. It will be created. It's very simple. See the whole skies, the seven skies and the seven earths and the whole universe, Allah is able to create it in less than 1 second. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing stops Him from fulfilling His will. Whatever Allah willed to happen, it shall happen at the exact time Allah willed for it to happen. We all know that one day we are going to die. Okay, bring all the doctors now, all the professors, put that person in the best hospital in the world. Can they stop him from dying? They can't, because Allah willed for him to die. When that moment comes, that person will die. That's it. So this ayah means nothing stops Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from fulfilling His will. If Allah willed for something to happen, it will happen. And nothing will be hard on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do now. Allah is the creator of the world. So Allah's kalam, speech, is not like our kalam and speech. We, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, say that Muslims believe in the attribute of kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, they say it is not like our kalam, our speech. Our speech is made up of language, letter, sounds, and so on. But Allah's speech is not like our speech. Some people might say, how could that be called kalam? Kalam, and it's not with a sound or letter or language. Kalam is not only referred to what you utter with. Sometimes you might say, I had some words in my heart, but I didn't say them. You would say, I had some words in my heart, I didn't say them. Or they say, I had speech in my heart. So I was saying something in my heart. I was saying something in my heart. I said in my heart, such and such. Does that mean if they take you to the hospital and they put a detector for sounds and they put it on your heart, they hear that person saying these words? No. Kalam is in the heart. That doesn't mean it is made up of letters and sounds. But it is in the heart. You call it kalam. The kalam of Allah is not a language, is not a letter, is not a sound. Now the Quran, the holy book that we have between our hands, is an expression of the eternal kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is an expression of the eternal kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, regarding the attribute of kalam, memorize this. The Qadariyya and Mu'tazila in the past denied the attribute of kalam. The Mushabbiha, those who likened Allah to His creation, attributed to Allah the attribute of kalam, but they said it is like the attribute of the creations. In between, the majority of this nation attributed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the attribute of kalam, but they said it's not like the attribute of the creations. As you say, Allah is attributed with sight, but the sight of Allah is not like our sight, seeing. The Allah is attributed with hearing, but the way Allah hears things is not like the way we hear things. How do you hear things? For instance, you hear things through the sound waves that go inside your ear and they hit the eardrum. They send a message to the brain. The brain analyzes the message. By this you can hear the sound. Sometimes, subhanAllah, you might have a stroke in your brain, blood clot in your brain. It might paralyze or deactivate the veins and the tissues that make your hearing work. Then you stop hearing. They might affect the veins or the tissues that operate what? the operation of seeing, the process of seeing, and they stop seeing. Allah linked all these, subhanAllah, with these small and tiny tissues in your brain. So if any of these vessels or tissues get damaged, for instance, gets damaged, then what happens? You stop seeing, you stop hearing. We have devices. Allah created these things for us, instruments by which we are able to hear and see. Allah is not like us. And you cannot see behind the walls. Put something behind the wall, you cannot see. Allah sees everything. So definitely, the seeing of Allah is not like our seeing. The hearing of Allah is not like our hearing. And look at this verse, how beautiful this verse is. Allah said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Now, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, this section of the verse means nothing resembles Allah in any way. That's the first section. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah is attributed with hearing and sight. From the first section of the verse, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing resembles Allah in any way. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And Allah is attributed with hearing and sight. You know that the hearing of Allah is not like our hearing. The seeing of Allah is not like our seeing. Very, very obvious. The one whose heart is open will understand from this verse. That is in Surah Shura, Ayah 11, this verse. The one whose heart is open will understand from this that Allah doesn't resemble any of His creation. The Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, were very bright. From these verses, they were able to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have a body, doesn't have a shape, exists without a place. Allah hears but not like the way we hear. Allah sees but not like the way we see, and so on. From this verse, they understood all that. Now, some people, if you tell them 3 times 4, is it same as 4 times 3? They need to think about it. They need to use the calculator to find out if they are the same. Now the way or the standard of thinking of people changed. That's why some people might read something now and they misinterpret what they read and they believe something blasphemous. Imagine, for instance, one person in Lebanon, he was blind in and out. He was blind. That means his heart was blind and he was literally blind. But that person used to recite Quran. Then he heard someone giving a lesson, and that sheikh that was giving the lesson was saying, Allah doesn't resemble the creations. Allah is not attributed with an ear, because the ear is an organ, and Allah created this organ to us. It's like a device for hearing for us. He said to him, how do you say that Allah doesn't have an ear? The Prophet mentioned in the hadith that Allah has an ear. Said, A'udhu billah, how do you say this? He said, yes, the Prophet said, and he unfortunately distorted the hadith. The hadith says, لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ أَذَنًا لِقَارِئٍ حَسَنِ الصَّوْتِ, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts more the recitation. That means gives more rewards to the one who recites the Quran in a very nice way. So properly he's reciting and he's trying to make his voice and the recitation beautiful. He's beautifying his recitation. The one who beautifies his way of recitation will be more rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ أَذَنًا means Allah will give more rewards to this person. أَذَنًا, أَذَنًا, it's Alif, Zal, Noon and Alif, but it's Fatha, Fatha, أَذَنًا. He, in the past, before he became blind, read it أُذُنًا. أُذُنًا means E. أَذَنًا is different. He read it, لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ أُذُنًا, and he thought, so Allah has an ear. any attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this attribute, which is blasphemous. See how people sometimes fall into blasphemy because they are ignorant of the meaning of the hadith? Because they never ask proper sheikhs about these ayahs or a hadith they read. They say, I want to read. I read in some books in English, the way they translate is against Islam. For instance, about Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's Khalilur Rahman. Khalilur Rahman, highly accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say, when ayyadu billah, in the translation, Ibrahim is Allah's friend. We can't say about Allah that He has friends. This translation is very bad. Some people also come to some verses and they translate literally and they fall into blasphemy. The language is very wide, especially the Arabic language. So you come across some verses, but the literal meaning is not what is meant. Not what you might think the apparent meaning. No. There is a meaning for that verse that you need to ask a trustworthy and knowledgeable person who would be able to provide you with the proper interpretation and translation for that verse. Don't go to anyone. Don't go to anyone, because some people now dare to give you any answer, but not to say, I don't know. They don't say, I don't know. Whatever you ask them, they give you answers. Unfortunately, because they don't want to be seen in your eyes ignorant or not having great knowledge. So whatever you ask them, they give you answers. And some of them, even they give you an answer today, after 1 month they give you another answer, after 1 year another answer, depending what he ate. After eating, for instance, kusa, they give you a different judgment. After eating batanjan, eggplant, they give you a different judgment. After eating fish and chips, different answer. If he's angry, he gives you a different answer. If he's happy, different answer, and so on. This is very dangerous. If you know of a person who gives the judgment out of his mood and opinion, leave that person. Say, I'm not coming to you to ask you about your opinion. I want the Islamic judgment. Do you know of a verse that talks about this? Do you know of a hadith that talks about this? If you know, tell me. If you don't know, say, I don't know. Because I don't want you to give your opinion. If our religion is based on opinions, what will happen to our religion? We'll be lost. So our religion is not based on opinions. That's why it's very, very important that we know. If that person gives his own opinion in religion, when issuing a religious judgment, say to that person, I don't want your opinion. Keep it to yourself. I'm asking you about my religion. So I'm not expecting you to give me what? Your opinion. Imagine, like, people would have different opinions. Even if he is a sheikh. How many sheikhs are there in the world now? Whether they are on the right path or the wrong path. Everyone who has the title of sheikh in the world now. How many? Millions. Millions. If everyone, because he has the title of sheikh, can give the religion based on his opinion, what's going to happen to our religion? See, will be like other, you know, religions. They go to them, everyone gives something. And they made once like a joke about how people give their opinions. And they mentioned about one person, like two sheikhs from the same group, not on the right path. They were from a deviated group. Listen to this. Now, They were very famous, but even because they give their opinions, what happens? The judgment sometimes is different between them. They say that they came to a person, to one of them, and they said to him, I want to ask you a question. Does the elephant fly? Then he said to them, no, it doesn't fly. How could it fly? It doesn't fly. Elephant can fly now. It doesn't fly. They said to him, but that sheikh from his same group said it flies. Then he said, well, it flies, but not that high. Just to make what? Just to justify for each other what they say. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the bad inclinations, to keep us steadfast on the right path, the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make our end as pious Muslims, and Allah knows best.